at this conference. We are humbled and nervous. Be the rookie in the lineup here. I remember when I called Brother Dan and I told him I'd surrendered to preach. I said, I was excited and terrified all at the same time. And he said, that's good. That's the way it should be. And so while we do get nervous, we are excited to be here, thankful to be here. And we know we serve a great big God that will get us through all things. And we seek to just say that which is pleasing and honoring unto Him. We have been blessed already in this conference. So thankful for the word that has been brought forth. And we look forward to those that are yet to preach. You know, many years we've come up to Home Baptist Church for the conference. And I was thinking about that earlier, and I was thinking, you know, as a kid sitting in the pew, boy, I couldn't just hardly wait for the break time to happen. So that way I could run around with the other kids. And I tell you, sitting out there right now, I just can't wait for the next preacher to get up there and preach the Word of God. What a blessing. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Titus, chapter 3. Book of Titus in chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. It is a faithful saying. It is true, it is just, it is right. It is known as a fact. And I praise God for His Word that He has given us. Because as we read this, it is faithful saying. Everything in here, in His Word, is faithful and just and right. That which is to be affirmed constantly or to state the fact consistently that the believer needs to be careful to maintain good works. To be diligent to maintain good works. And those good works are the works that are done to the service of the Lord. We must be diligent about those works. For they are good and profitable, this verse tells us. Today, we'd like to focus on that word profitable for a little bit as the Lord leads. And being a profitable Christian. Profit is to benefit. It is that which is advantageous, that which is useful, that which is expedient. And you know, there's two opposing views of profitability, is there not? God's Word shows that which is right and true and truly profitable to God's people. Truly beneficial. The world will have a different view on profitability. That which profits the flesh. That which only benefits the carnal mind. The lust of the flesh. You know, the world wouldn't view coming to a Bible conference as a profitable thing. They wouldn't view spending a day in the house of the Lord listening to His Word being taught as that which brings profit. Oh, but to the child of God, there's nothing better. Nothing more profitable than the Word of God. You know, Romans 8 and verse 6 said, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to the spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God."
Amen.
That flesh and the spirit will always battle. But that which is profitable to the Christian, that which is profitable to a child of God, is that which is of God. We would do well to affirm constantly, consistently, that which is profitable, good and profitable for our sakes. A profitable Christian follows the words of God and not the words of man.
Amen.
Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, that is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
Divinely inspired word of God, recorded by holy men of God that spake as they were moved by God, by the Holy Ghost. That's why we can look at this and say, these are faithful sayings. These are just. These are righteous. Because it is not a word of man. It is the word of God. Any word of man that goes against the word of God is an attack on the truth of God, and it's a falsehood and it's a sin. A profitable Christian does not take heed to fables. It says, take heed to his word. Do well that ye take heed. A sure word. We profit from that word. We shall be blessed if we take heed to his word. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Again, the verse starts with, "It is a faithful saying.
Amen.
For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Paul to Timothy charged him, said, put them in remembrance. To charge is to declare or to give a directive, an open, sure guidance. A profitable Christian remembers the word of God. A profitable Christian needs to be put in constant reminder and remembrance of the Word of God. Oh, we are dead to sin. We live for Him now. We may suffer for His sake. We may be persecuted. We may be looked at those by those around us that they may think we're wasting our time. Or they may think there's no good to be come out of it. But anything we suffer for His sake, remember, as a child of God, we will one day reign with Him. He tells him, put them in remembrance. Who is he to be put in remembrance? It's His people. He's charging him, put His people in remembrance of the Word of God. And it says, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. Look not to those words of no profit. Those words that are of man. Those words that are harmful. Those fallacies, those false teachings that bring about no profit. Their only work is what's shown at the end of that verse 14, but to the subverting of the hearers. That is the only purpose of the word of no profit, is to seek to subvert of the hearers. Seek to undermine. Seek to pervert the truth. Words of no profit. The world's full of that, is it not? Words of no profit. What is a word of no profit? Any word that contradicts the word of God is a word of no profit. You know, we recently moved to a small little town, a fancy farm, and every Sunday as we drive to Sedalia to church, we drive through Fancy Farm and we see cars packed out at the big Catholic church there in Fancy Farm. I mean, parking down the road. Now, the Lord can save who He will. I'm not saying that nobody in anything other than a Baptist church can be saved. That's not what I'm saying. The Lord can save His people. But there's a lot of people dedicated to words of no profit, are there not? We must be on guard. A profitable Christian is on guard. We must seek to be in remembrance of God's word. The words of no profit seek to tear down the Christian. They seek to undermine God's truth. Like I said, that's their only purpose, to subvert the hearers. See, they can never change God's truth. God's word is set, it's settled. His truth was set before the foundation of this world and it ever shall be. So they cannot change His word. But they can speak words of no profit to the subverting of the hearers, can they not? To try to drag that one down, to be unprofitable. To give in to words of no profit means we are being unprofitable. Look in Titus chapter 1. In verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow of bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Paul's charged to Titus here, and Titus is charged to the ministers of the word. There are many unruly, many vain talkers. There's much words of no profit. Rebuke them. Reprove them. Give them no heed. See, the profitable Christian stands in remembrance of God's truth. He gives no heed to the unprofitable word. Because it wouldn't be profitable if they were giving heed to that unprofitable word. A charge to defend the faith. To hold fast the faithful word. The true word. Look at what it says over in Jude. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend for the faith. To contend is to assert a position of intent, an intensive stance in the faith of God's truth, that which is delivered to His saints, given unto God's people. It's who Jude is writing to. In verse 1 it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Amen. Called unto His service. He says it's needful for me to write unto you. It's needful for us to be put in remembrance, to stand, to contend for the faith. You don't have to look too far around about us where people stand and contend for some evil, wicked, vile things. We are not to keep our mouths shut, as Uncle Randy was saying. I'm sorry to be informal. He is my uncle. And my brother as well. We thank the Lord for that. Needful for God's people to be exhorted, to be lifted up, to be put in remembrance, to stand for the faith, to contend earnestly. We'll be profitable if we do such. We shall be blessed. He'll give us the strength. You know, Paul prayed for boldness. The Lord gave it to him. We can do the same. He'll give us what we need. As I was thinking about the warning there found in the book of Titus of false teachers, it says they can subvert whole houses. Undermine. They can undermine and pervert the thoughts of whole houses. Turn a whole house unprofitable. A minister of God's word must beware of the false teachers. Must hold fast to the word of God as they have been taught. I thank the Lord for God's men. They're taught so they can rebuke, reprove the false ways, so that God's people may be sound in the faith. Not giving heed to men's fables. Not giving heed to the unprofitable word. That they turn not from the truth. So that's what happens when a whole house is subverted. They turn from the truth to fables. A profitable Christian is one taught the truth of the word by the preaching of God's word in God's house. The man of God puts them in remembrance of God's truth. Let us be thankful for our pastors. For men of God who are used week in and week out to stand before their churches and to put God's people in remembrance of the Word of God. They do that we may be profitable in our Christian walk. Oh, I'm so thankful for my pastor. I'm so thankful for the dear brethren here and for their stance for the Lord, for their faithfulness. They're proclaiming the truths. As was mentioned, we can look back and think of all the men that preached in conferences of years past, and many of them are gone on to be with the Lord now. But we're so thankful for them. We're thankful for each one of you that are here today that stand and preach forth God's Word that we have learned from. I know I've learned from so many. And I'm thankful for those that have been 40, 50 years in the ministry. And they're still preaching God's truth as they were when they started. Praise God for that. They took the charge that was laid out in 2 Timothy and Titus, and they put God's people in remembrance of God's Word. Let us pray for our pastors. They've got a big responsibility as they stand before their assemblies and feed God's people. They give us God's Word, that Word that is profitable for us, for our instruction, for our guidance, for our correction. No, that's one we don't like. We're talking a little bit at lunch of correction. I heard Uncle Randy talk about, you know, learning from Dad's example of Dad getting the whooping, so he learned didn't have to. Reminded me of a time, and this only happened to me once. I may be slow, but there's some things I learned quick. One time as a kid, as Dad was preaching, he stopped in the middle of his sermon and said, "Wesley, you go sit by your mother." Ooh. I want to talk about that was a rough walk across the church house. And as I sat there, you know, as a kid, like I said, you're kind of usually ready for the service to be over. Boy, that service, I was like, "Preach on, Daddy." You know? I knew what was coming to me after that sermon. But you know what? That was profitable for me. I didn't see it then. Of course not. You know, yeah, I got my spanking after that. Yeah, I didn't think it was profitable for me then. But it was. God's Word is profitable. God's men stand and proclaim God's Word to God's people for their instruction, for guidance, for correction, for joy, for hope. And the list goes on and on. Oh, God's Word is profitable to us. Our benefit. To what purpose? That we glorify God. Amen. That we bring Him honor and glory. Praise His name. Words of no profit bring no glory to God. We must be put in remembrance of those profitable words so that we can live our Christian walk to glorify God. We turn with me, if you would, back to the book of Haggai, chapter 1. Profitable Christian is not a neglectful Christian. Profitable Christian performs their duties, their work, their responsibility, as we heard this morning in the message on Genesis. If we look at Haggai in chapter 1 and verse 2, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The people said, the time has not yet come. What time was that? The time for God's work. That was what the people were saying the time has not yet come for. Neglect of duty. They said, it's not time to do the Lord's work. The Lord said different. He said, is it time for you to dwell in your siled houses or your roofed houses, your completed houses? To sit back? You know, Christ himself said, I must be about my Father's business. As a child of God, that is what we must be about. Consider your ways, it says. It's in verse 6, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. To sow and toil and work for the flesh, for the temporal, there's not enough you could do to ever be satisfied. It says, you earneth wages and you put it into bags with holes. Where are you spending your time? The Lord says, consider your ways. You've sown and you've worked much, but you've worked unto yourselves. You've neglected the work of God. That's what he tells them here. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The neglectful Christian has the focus on the wrong thing. Focus on that worldly labor. Focus on that earthly treasures. That which has no eternal sustenance or value. Not saying that we can't work. We all should work. We got to work to provide. God tells us to work. It's just what's first in our life. That's the point. Are we happy and content while the Lord's telling us to go work? Christ tells his disciples over in John 4:35, said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white all ready to harvest. Said, say not that the time to reap is not yet here. The fields are already white to harvest. Amen. Let us not focus on our time, on our ways. That's what a neglectful Christian does. Focus on our own ways, our own thoughts, our own timetable. We're to focus on God's work. We're to look to God for his direction. And his timetable may not match ours, but when you wait upon the Lord, as the word say, he shall renew our strength. He shall give us what we need. In verse 8, he gives them direction. It says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. The profitable Christian puts God's work first. To what purpose? Once again, it glorifies God. It causes us to be profitable. Look down in verse 14. It says, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. The Lord stirred up, and they did the work. The Lord can stir up the spirit of the neglectful Christian, turn their focus back to that which would make them a profitable Christian. As the verse said, that is a faithful saying. We must be careful to maintain good works so that we may glorify God. Lastly, we'd like to consider a profitable Christian is a rejoicing Christian. Philippians 4:4 said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Over in 1 Thessalonians, part of the list of the Christian duties given, two words, it says, "Rejoice evermore." It's part of our responsibility. A profitable Christian is a rejoicing Christian because we recognize who He is, recognize what He has done, what He continues to do. For we serve a holy God. We serve a God that there is none other like Him. How can we not rejoice when that truth is in our hearts? Amen. Turn to the book of Psalm, chapter 23. Probably the most familiar psalm, but so many wonderful truths in this psalm. And as we read through these verses here, Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. That's what we have to be joyous over. That's what we have to be thankful for. The promise is found here are for all the days of our lives. And then beyond in eternity as He calls us. Either He brings us home through a natural passing on this earth, or whether we're alive and remain when He comes back. But we shall eternally dwell with Him. The promise is found here, all the days of our life. The Lord is my shepherd. The great shepherd. We are His sheep. We belong to Him. There is none greater to belong to. We have the utmost, the one and only, the holy God, all the days of our life. I shall not want. I shall not lack, basically. What shall we lack when we serve the utmost? There's nothing to lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, you wouldn't think you'd have to be made to do such things. But see, a sheep will naturally seek that unprofitable way. God puts us in His care, puts us where we need to be. We, like sheep, would stray. Will naturally go that unprofitable way. But He makes sure we have green pastures. He makes sure we have still waters. He makes us to lie down in that. The like of which only He can give. It's because of Him we're profitable. So let us rejoice in that. Let us be put in that remembrance to thank Him every day for who He is. As the shepherd, He makes His sheep profitable. We need to be thankful and rejoiceful all the time. It's not just to be in a state of thankfulness whenever we feel good. You know, it says, He restoreth my soul. He can refresh us. He can lift us up. He does all of that for us because we are His sheep. Because He loves us. And we don't deserve that love, do we? That's the grace. That's the mercy. The surety of all the days of our life. He is our shepherd. He doesn't promise a life of ease. That doesn't mean that we shall never go through a trial or never sail the rough waters, so to speak. We won't have a perfect life until we're up there in glory with Him. Then the blessings of perfection we shall see. We'll have days of trial, times of walking in the valley, but you know what? When God is the one leading you through that valley, it is profitable for you. Appreciate the words that have been brought forth in this conference already. The messages, you know, and as Brother Hugan preached, to magnify God. You know, I know that one stepped on my toes, because how many times do I focus on the trial when the trial's there? Rather than thinking, you know, God has a reason for this. I shall be profitable in this because God is leading me in this. When God is leading you through, now that's different. If we're down in a trial because of our own sin, God never leads us into sin. But you know He's faithful and just to forgive, doesn't He? We profit from His mercy that we can go back to our great shepherd and say, Lord, forgive me. And know that He is faithful and just to forgive. But our shepherd leads us. He directs our path. He feeds us. He prepares the table for me. Even in the presence of mine enemies. Oh, I love that part. He's already given it. It's His word. He's given it. He's prepared a table for us to feast on. To follow, to be profitable. His precious promise of all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We shall be profitable because of Him. All the days of our life. And then on after. When this life is over, we shall dwell with Him forever. That short verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 that says, rejoice evermore. You know, the Lord's really worked that one on me over the last couple months. Two words, but such an impact those two words have. Because it's part of our Christian responsibility, part of our Christian duty to rejoice evermore. If you know the life of Psalm 23, then you have something to rejoice evermore about. Rejoice. Praise God. Give Him the honor and glory due unto His name. Not just in the times where we feel good, not just in the times when things are going our way, but it's that second part of that short little verse, evermore. All the days of our life, He is our shepherd. He gives us a home in glory there after our life here. It is a faithful saying. Let us affirm that constantly. So we're to rejoice evermore. That's what evermore means, is all the days of our life and then in glory with Him forever. That's evermore. Rejoice evermore. Oh, may we seek to be profitable Christians, but it can only be done through Him. Standing in remembrance of His word, His way, His work, the blessings we have are all of Him. We are profited through God. May God bless His word, Brother Matt.